Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Vince Cadlebeck, Chris Hilson, and Sarah Bradley. They are from Meow Wolf. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Hey.
So Meow Wolf is an organization who that's been around for around 3 years. Vince, you came on with a couple of other Meow Wolfers when you just were getting started 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was an exciting time back then. I mean, we didn't really know what we were doing. We were just kind of jumping into this project, and the project being Meow Wolf, and with the idea that we wanted to do music and art, that we wanted to create like a music and art venue, you know, for like different kinds of, you know, different kinds of events that weren't already happening. And it started just taking off, and more people got, you know, gravitated towards it. Our projects were getting really well, you know, well-received reviews, and it just like kind of like, you know, built and built and built and built. We got some support. We got some, you know, moved into a bigger space. And over the last few years, I mean, things have evolved like considerably, going from, you know, building small little installations in a 800 square foot space to building really complex, intricate, structurally integral projects like the one that we did last summer, Habitats, that Chris and Sarah worked on.
Right.
I mean, like our evolution has like just been, it's just like skyrocketing, you know, in what we're able to do, what we're capable to do, and what we're like willing to try, what our ambitions are, you know, and that's been exciting.
There's a lot of things that are unusual about what you're doing. One is that it's all local people and all young people in an artist community where, in an artistic community, Santa Fe, where so many of the people are older and many of them are from elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, they're here, you know, we exist, we live here, so.
Yeah, I think that actually having there be so, like, a dominance of an older generation in the art community allows those of us who are younger to gravitate together more. And some of us, I'm not sure that we ever would have picked to work with each other under other circumstances, but it's created some really unique pairings of just artistic vision and actually a lot of strength, too. I think we're, yeah, we have a lot of strength in our diversity.
Definitely. There's a lot of things that we come up with that singularly we wouldn't have been able to pull off or even maybe think of. You know, it's definitely a collaboration of a lot of different backgrounds, talents, interests.
And that's another thing that's unusual about it is an ongoing multi-year collaboration among different artists, and there's some kind of porousness to it. Some people arrive, some people leave, mm-hmm. and yet there is a process that has an integrity and a strength that has been, I think, surprising to me, surprising to a lot of people who've witnessed it. What's it like? How do you actually work? How do you collaborate with each other?
I mean, it's like it's totally open. We have weekly meetings that we discuss things. We try to stray away from the idea of hierarchy. Basically, like whoever has the ability and the energy to like put time and work into a project or into an event, they kind of then get like a little bit more say than others. Just kind of in an organic way. No, you know, not really in any structural way. I think a big part of it is we have like people have to own and be responsible to the project and to what they, you know what I mean? There's like a real closeness to like, if you say you're going to do something, the follow through is just like, it's expected. And it's really, it's expected from the rest of the group. And it's kind of expected by this entity known as Meow Wolf, you know,
absolutely,
this thing like overseeing you saying like, there's, you know, there's a history that you have to respect. There's like past projects that you have to respect. So like follow through. And there's like this like sort of people owning that.
And yet there's no one person saying, you know, cracking the whip and saying do this now, or you're all pretty much autonomous and mm-hmm. and coming from your own creative energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we just work within the idea that we're trying to create one singular kind of entity, whether it's a specific single structural or sculptural piece, or if it's a complex series of those pieces all bound together under some sort of theme. It's about just trying to get the whole thing done and getting the show done however we can. So when we just take on all these different roles and different responsibilities. There really is just a lot of self-accountability that's working. I think that's the biggest aspect of the group.
And I think everybody wants the show to succeed. Every show, everybody wants it to succeed. So they're willing to put in that time and, you know, just and make it a fantastic total piece.
In the beginning, when you were doing these big installations that would take up a whole room or eventually multiple rooms, there was this sense that you could never tell where one person's work ended and the next person's began. How did that work? I mean, was there an ideology of not putting your individual stamp on things, or did it just kind of happen that way? Did you influence each other's styles and ways of working?
I think we want people to experience one piece, you know, and I think we want them to experience it from within that piece. And when you section out things and put names on it, they are then like outside of that piece and looking at it rather than the feeling of being inside of one piece. And so I think it was just for the aesthetic quality of the piece, of the pieces itself, of creating environmental art or creating like space art, that it was just kind of necessary to like, you know, remove that. And we've gotten to the point now where like this upcoming project that we're doing that will be happening in the springtime will have, you know, people will be able to see like who are the artists that worked on this, what are the places they worked on, but in the experience itself, it won't be labeled, but they'll get like some sort of pamphlet or something, you know, so those artists do get recognized, you know, and those artists can be approached, but you know, so we are kind of moving. We do want to have that recognition happen, but still for the integrity and the quality of the piece itself, I think keeping it as one whole Meow Wolf produced thing just has a bigger effect, you know.
Definitely. It's a collaboration, you know. The kind of things that we try to create really are about putting the person in the art and having them be part of it, and really that close viewership, that relationship that's established with the work. So sectioning things off and putting names, that's not really part of the point.
No, but there is a kind of shared aesthetic, which, at least in the early stuff, had to do with using tons of found materials, a kind of like retro junk shop aesthetic, kind of crazy, colorful, slightly smelly messiness.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed to kind of take part in that aesthetic.
Well, it's kind of just based on what we had available. Yeah. You know, Meow Wolf, especially through the first shows, has always relied on donations for materials. We use basically anything people drop off at our doorstep that we can kind of see something in and kind of look into a little bit differently and see the possibilities in form, in color, you know, see what we can do with it, and just have being forced to be very creative with that.
So that kind of was the first phase, and then you went into another phase, namely theater, which I've raved about on this program and off enough that I'm not going to do it anymore, but you did a great play called The Moon Is to Live On, which was extraordinary in its use of staging and video and technology in a way that told a story in a way I've never seen before. What are you doing now? What's the next phase after that?
Well, the play was an interesting kind of turning point where, like, we did more of a structure and we had a budget and we spent money on new materials and we tried to make things less smelly and less junky, you know, to the best of our ability. And so we kind of...
For the sake of the audience, if nothing else.
Sure, for the sake of the... There was a moment where we were going to, like, cook bacon and have the smell of bacon spreading through the audience, but we decided against that. But onto our project that we're doing this spring... From the play, we were invited to do a show at the Center for Contemporary Arts, CCA, and they were offering us their 6,000 square foot space, the Munoz Waxman Gallery, which is a beautiful space. And so we went in there and saw how big it was, and thought we need to do something that matches the size of the space. We want this space to feel actually small. We want to like take over the entire space. And so Chris had the idea. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, well, we wanted to do a show that took that idea of matching the space and completely overrunning the space and changed it a little bit. We wanted to do something a little bit more cohesive, a little bit more solid, almost like a true collaboration where we're all building one thing. We had a few other projects where we did a geodecadent show at the Linda Durham Gallery, for instance, where eight of us kind of sectioned off into this one sculptural piece.
Which was fabulous.
Thank you. But we wanted to do something similar to that, but on a larger scale involving the entire collective. And the idea came about to do a ship, a large sailing vessel. And once we got into the space, we got to see how big we could actually make it. It's going to be something like 73 feet long, 20 feet wide. It's going to have a couple of levels that you can crawl around in, and you know, very Meow Wolf kind of aesthetic to the way that you can actually go through it. But it will be completely transversible. You'll be able to walk in and around the entire thing, and there's going to be an environment that takes up the rest of the floor space of the Munoz Waxman. And the environment's going to have a lot of different kinds of trees. And
yeah, it's going to be kind of an alien environment, something that has, you know, tree-like forms and an ecology that, you know, you can kind of figure out just by looking at what's going on. But it's going to be completely foreign. So that's been a lot of fun trying to come up with, you know, forms, creatures and, like, plant-like structures that, you know, look enough like trees that we kind of get a sense of where they fit into the ecology of the planet, but that are completely other as well.
So maybe from another planet,
right,
like ours kind of thing?
And yeah. The idea is that, like, the ship, this vessel is a trans-dimensional vessel that has traveled through vortex after vortex, and has now, in the space that we're creating, is its latest landing space.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to be building a history that takes up 31 different eras that this ship has traveled through. So there's going to be a pretty robust kind of fictional history. So, you know, it's like, and when an audience member walks in, they're walking into a complete world that's complete with story, and is complete with their ability to kind of discover that story as they go, you know.
And will that story be explicit, or is it like the backstory of a novel that you don't really know, but the author knows it's there?
There'll be a place, a digital archive. There'll be a place that people can actually walk up to, kind of in a museum fashion, and kind of flip through different articles of that ship. But mostly it's going to be people are going to piece together whatever they want to piece together. We're going to give them a little here, a little there, and then let their brains kind of connect dots, or, you know, just build the rest of their world in their own head, kind of.
Will there be a performance aspect to it, or?
There will. Every weekend that we're open, we're planning on opening in mid to late May, and every weekend that we're open, every Friday and Saturday night that we're open, there plans to be mild performance. Nothing that's like overwhelming, or stuff that's just like that's accentuating the piece and making the piece feel a little bit more alive. You know, but nothing that's distracting from the audience's personal experience.
Yeah, the performances are kind of intended to bring in more interactivity with the environment, with everything that's going on in the show, taking the viewer out of the normal viewer range with a set art piece or an installation piece, and bringing the performance aspect of other people moving around and just creating more involvement with that.
We're talking to Vince Kavlebeck, Chris Hilson, and Sarah Bradley from Meow Wolf. Now, for a while, you had a space on 2nd Street that is now a piece of history.
Right.
It's just too unwieldy to maintain, I guess.
It was just in our best interest to save money and kind of like stay without a space for about 4 or 5 months while we conceptualized this CCA piece. And now that we have conceptualized the CCA piece to the point of now starting to wanting to prefabricate pieces before we move in, we are now in need of a warehouse again. And we have a small space right now off of Rafina that will help with part of the... I mean, this project's huge. I mean, we're filling a 6,000 square foot space. I mean, we're crazy for even going after it, but, you know, this is what we do. So... We need space. We have about 800 or 700 square feet right now that we're working with. Some of the project we'll be able to prefabricate in, but to prefabricate the ship itself, we need a whole nother space. So actually, if there's anyone listening that has a warehouse in mind or has just an open space that we can come in, move our tools in, you know, and work for just like 2 months, that would be tremendous.
That would help a lot.
How do they reach you?
You can go onto our website at meowwolf.com, meowwolf.com, and there's an email address on there, and just contact that person. That's Katie Kennedy, and you can contact her, and go from there.
Ladies and gentlemen, big warehouse needed for 2 months. I'm sure one of our listeners can help you, but I don't know who. Right. So
preferably heated.
Really, at this time of year. So when you get this thing done, then you've got to transport it over to the CCA.
Yeah, we're going to frame it out.
We're actually going to be building most of it in the CCA on location. We're going to do a lot of the prefabrication, of course, off-site, and just be trucking everything over. It's going to be a rather large endeavor, but we're kind of looking at it like we're just doing a big Lego model kit, basically.
You know,
and it's all just Lego pieces. We know where the pieces are supposed to go, and we know how they're all going to fit together, and it's just working off of a plan like that.
Now, do you have contact with other groups in the United States or abroad that are doing maybe similar kinds of things or working in the way that you guys are working?
Yeah, actually. There's a collective in New York called Flux Factory. Two or three of their members came out and did an installation piece at the CCA last summer, and they came to see Habitats, and we've been in touch with them since then. And they're actually working on something called, what was it, the Congress of the Collectives or something like that, trying to pull small collective organizations from around the United States together and sort of, you know, share stories and get strategies from people and just sort of, you know, organize as almost a larger group of artists.
It's so interesting because collectives are a natural way that artists work together. I mean, the stereotype of somebody in the attic painting their oil paintings, that's one form of art, but so much of art is done in collectives. And I remember when I was, before I moved to Santa Fe, I was writing grants for a small arts organization, and it was, I guess, the Reagan era, and if you wrote a national grant with the word collective in it, they just threw it out because you were communists, essentially. I mean, I'm hoping times have changed since then.
I feel like in our, especially with our generation, it's almost necessary to work in, you know, it's like the power in numbers idea. You know, I mean, like we've been able to gain such a larger voice in this community in such a short amount of time because of that collective mentality, because of that group mentality, rather than one artist trying to like make their way. You know, I mean, we have a show at the Center for Contemporary Arts that will be, you know, spanning an entire summer, like the peak season of art here in Santa Fe.
Right.
And we've only been together doing this for 3 years. So it's like our trajectory has been just exponential because of that power in numbers mentality, you know, and I think that that's really important for artists our age. It's like so hard to break into the art world, and especially in Santa Fe, you know, when we're not doing like historical traditional art.
I think this is actually one of the only ways to really do the kind of work that we want to be doing anyway. You know, it's impossible for one person to do the size of work that we're trying to create, the type of work that we're trying to create.
Yeah.
And this is kind of how things are created in the art world anyway. You know, you have a bunch of people working on one project under one goal, and usually one person takes credit for it.
That's right.
It's the collective taking credit for it.
Yeah.
And it's been demonstrated that a group of ordinary people addressing a problem does better than one super brainy, brilliant person addressing the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes it easier.
Yeah. And there's just so much more creativity and people synthesize with each other. So you are, I mean, another, I don't want to call it problem, but another reality that you have to face is making a living, keeping this work going, and funding and whatnot. So one of the things that you're doing is you're having a monthly event. The first one is this Tuesday, the 11th of January, at Back Road Pizza. Tell us about that.
Well, Back Road Pizza was nice enough to say that the second Tuesday of every month, which starts this upcoming Tuesday, they will donate a percentage of sales all day, you know, the total sales of the day. They'll donate a percentage of that to Meow Wolf and specifically to this project at CCA. So, which is awesome. I mean, Backroad's been good friends of us for a while, being neighbors pretty much. And so that's one way that we've been raising money. It'd be great if people go out, just, you know, basically the way we're putting it is buy a slice of pizza, drink a beer, and support Meow Wolf. You know, it's like the easiest way you could ever support us is go and enjoy a nice lunch or a nice dinner. We will have some music later on in the night, like around 7 o'clock. We'll have Flamingo Pink and a couple other artists, you know, playing some music. But the idea is just, go in there, you know, give some business to Backroad, and they'll give some business to us, you know.
Yeah, the hardship of ordering some pizza and drinking some beer, I think is something that we could make that sacrifice and just try to endure.
Right. And we also have another kind of big part of our fundraising efforts right now is through a website known as Kickstarter. It's a really great website. And if anyone's interested in, you know, giving us $5, $10, $25 through Kickstarter, you can visit meowwolf.com/kickstart, KICKSTART. And that's just like for small-time donation, just like, you know, pitch together, you know, to try to reach a goal. So,
how did you come up with the name Meow Wolf?
Chose it out of a hat.
Yeah, it was literally pulled out of a hat.
We had two hats. We had a hat.
And one was meow and the other was wolf?
We had a series of words over here, a series of words over here, and pulled out and put them together and tried our, you know, had about 10 of them on a list, and then Meow Wolf ended up the one. We thought we were crazy. The next morning I woke up thinking, like, this is nuts. Like, Meow Wolf, that sounds so silly, but it stuck and people love it. So.
And like anything, you get used to it and it becomes like an institution with its own resonance.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's kind of a classic way to pull out kind of a surreal or just ridiculous idea. You know, you put a bunch of words in a hat, mix them up, and pull out whatever strikes you and go with it.
So anything else you want to let people know about before we go?
Just keep your eyes and ears peeled for, you know, for the project this summer. I think there's gonna be a lot of gravity to it, and I think it's a really important piece for Santa Fe and Santa Fe's culture in general. And so, any support and any interest in it, it's like this is a chance for Santa Fe's emerging art culture to really like have like a splash on a, you know, on a larger scale. So,
well, I want to congratulate you, Vince, particularly, and all of you for accomplishing the incredible amount that you've accomplished in the last few years and having a great time while doing it.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
Vince Cadlebeck, Chris Hilson, and Sarah Bradley are all with Meow Wolf. They can be found at meowwolf.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Posse Tiempo. This is reflex. Rob DeWalt. He's with the Posse Tiempo, which is the Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Welcome. Sorry, I don't usually guys mixed up.
I can be Robert Knott if you want. That's fine.
Okay, start singing.
No, I don't really do that.
So anymore. Then you're Rob DeWalt, okay. And we love you
the way you are. I got a song.
Happy New Year.
I got a song. Blackbird screaming in the dead of night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Birds falling out of the sky everywhere.
What's going on?
I don't know. But there might be a clue in the cover story of the Posse Tiempo today about Cyphers, the web series. It's got kind of an environmental bent to it, and little secrets are sort of... That and Roy Orbison are let loose.
Yes.
That's really loud.
Oh,
wow.
We'll turn it down.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
We're adjusting our volume here. Happy New Year. So it's we're gearing back up into the new year. It's kind of the first week of January is a kind of a slow moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a slow moment. And I think especially because of the economic state, things are a lot slower, you know, than they were last year. I mean, I can just tell by looking at the calendar how much slower it is.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, somebody I know was trying to go to a restaurant, and every place she called was closed because the first week of January, I guess people go on vacation and close their restaurants.
Well, a lot of restaurants actually close either during the Thanksgiving break or right after the Christmas break to do deep cleaning, repainting, cleaning out the hood vents, cleaning out the ducts, you know, and stuff like that, getting ready for spring.
Yeah.
Spring cleaning comes early in the restaurant business.
Cleaning out the ducts is very important.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We don't like sitting in smoky places where the grill is filtering into the rest of the...
No. It can create smell issues.
Smell issues.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the arts, okay, let's start with Little Wing. So, it's a quadrifecta of art. I got a notice from Little Wing, which is the Candyman's artistic venue. A Night to Remember, it's a quadrifecta of art. Artist Dara Wills works on paper. Adrak from the Family Moons Collective Spinning, New Mexico favorite electro breaks, techno, and trance. And Justin Bransford Quartet. And Things That Are Heard. What do you know about this?
Things That Are Heard?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know much about anyone else. I know a little bit about Dave Wayne and Things That Are Heard. And you know, if you, you like jazz, if you like experimental music, if you like technical playing, it's something to go and check out.
And it's tonight from 5:30 in the afternoon till 11:30 at night.
Yep.
That's a long night.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay for the whole thing. They'll unlock the doors for you.
Yeah. I mean, entry's on a sliding scale, so.
That's nice, too.
There's something for everybody. I mentioned Little Wing in my column today. They actually did a bunch of fundraising on Kickstarter.com for their After School of Rock program.
Nice.
And there's basically the fundraising that they did provides scholarship opportunities and raises money to buy instruments for folks and stuff like that. And registration for classes. There's also classes for adults. And those I think the winter classes start, 3 days from now. So if you want to be a rock star, you better start signing up. You can go to, CandymanLittleWing.com or LittleWing.com. Google Little Wing Candyman.
Yes.
And you can find information about their rock school.
And there's other things going on there, too, on the 9th. What day is the 9th? Is that Monday?
Yep.
Okay,
no,
Monday.
No, 9th is Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, that's right. Voice Movement Workshop with Marjorie Morgan, who is a Boston-based choreographer and voice hyperactivist. So, and that's in the tradition of Roy Hart Theater in France. Very interesting.
Voice hyperactivist?
Voice hyperactivist.
All righty then.
And
anyway.
Then, yeah, and there's even more going on there, so check it out. Marjorie Morgan and Ross Hamlin are collaborating on the 12th. What day of the week is that? They never put the days of the week. The 12th.
The 12th is going to be,
Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and that's the hyperactivists. So old friends and collaborators from Boston meet for a night of music and dance. It says, imagine Gillian Welch meets John Cage. Just saying.
I heard the show yesterday with Craig Monson.
Nuns Behaving Badly.
Tales of Music, Magic, Art, and Arson in the Convents of Italy.
It's actually a wonderful book. It's more scholarly than you might think with that title.
No, it's fun stuff. It's really fun stuff, and it was a great interview. Anyway, there's a signing and a discussion, tonight?
Tonight.
5 p.m. at Garcia Street Books over there at 376 Garcia Street. There's also a story on page 18 in today's Boston Tiempo. Really entertaining stuff. I didn't know a lot of things about these nuns that I know now that I'm
it is
sure
very
I want to know.
Well, it's very interesting. Like, as they practiced casting love charms and spells so that they could get the boyfriend they wanted, they were put in a convent because the family was only there's a rich family that had only women in it. Basically lots of girls had been born and all the guys had died out, and so the last remaining male turned the family mansion or whatever into a convent, and the women then suddenly went from being upper class ladies to being nuns, and eventually they burned the place down.
Because they just didn't like the digs, right?
That's correct.
They were like, well, the curtain's just not working
it's
for
not
me.
It's not the digs. They
Pass
didn't
me
like
the kerosene.
Being nuns.
They didn't like, oh, it was worse than the decor.
Yeah, yeah. And then there were these, I mean, some of them were incredible musicians, and then they were divas, and then they were at each other's throats, and it just goes on. It's great.
Wow.
So that's, what time is that at?
That's at 5 o'clock tonight.
At Garcia Street Books.
At Garcia Street Books. Do you know what Zumba is?
Zumba, yeah. It's
what
like an it's an exercise kind of class that involves Latin music.
That involves Latin music.
Yeah.
So you like Latin music.
I like Latin music. I haven't been to a Zumba class, but it's been recommended highly that I go to Zumba class.
Well, check this out. Tonight, and this is, I think, becoming a very... it's kind of a regular thing, I think. But Zumba Dance Party with Team Everything.
Team Everything?
Well, it's just a couple of promoters in town. But the Zumba Dance Party, I believe, is early in the evening at Corazon. That's not reflected in the Paso Tiempo calendar. But later that night is DJ Miss Ginger performing as DJ Shark Siren. And she might just go as Shark Siren and drop the DJ. The DJ is silent in this case. But there's going to be all kinds of house and down-tempo electro and stuff like that.
Let's hope her DJing isn't silent.
No, it's not. But I would pay to see that. I'd want my money back afterwards, but I'd pay to see it. And that's 9 p.m. is the Heartbeats Party. That's when Shark Siren is going to bring it on. And that's tonight.
But that's Zumba?
Well, there's a Zumba dance party earlier in the evening.
Ah, okay.
And I'm not exactly sure what time it starts. I want to say 5:30 or 6:30, but, you know, don't quote me on that. And then the dance party starts at 9 p.m. So you can get all sweaty doing Zumba, and then you can get even sweatier
dancing
later.
Yeah, the borderline between Zumba dancing and later dancing may be slightly fuzzy.
Well, all they have to do is bring a hose out back, and people can go out back and then just hose off.
And get icicles on them, and then come back in with the icicle costume that melts all over everybody.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Tonight at Collected Works Bookstore at 5 o'clock is a photography reception and book signing with Tony Stromberg, Lynn Pomerantz, Greg Albrecht, and Jackie Fleming. And they're exhibiting photographs from the first annual Sky Dog Award for Equine Photography. The photographs are hanging in Collected Works Bookstore. So apparently they got so many wonderful photographs. Tony Stromberg, we've had on the air a couple of times. He's a great horse photographer. And the Sky Dog Wild Horse Sanctuary or Wild Horse Reserve is a wonderful place that basically rescues wild horses, and they've got some land in south of Santa Fe. And at 7 o'clock, there will be a free sneak preview screening of James Anaquad Kleinert's recently completed star-studded new film, Wild Horses and Renegades. And we had both Jackie Fleming and of the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve and James Anaquad Kleinert on the radio earlier this week, and he's finishing up a new edit of this film, so it really is brand new, never seen before. And the reason the horse sanctuary is called the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve is because apparently that was one Native American name for horses. They called them sky dogs because they thought of them as big, spiritual, dog-like animals that came from the sky.
Wow.
Anyway, it should be a very interesting pair of events. The film screening is at 7. The reception and viewing of the photographs and hanging out with all those guys is at 5. And then after the film, about 8:30, there will be a question and answer with the filmmaker. So lots of things happening at Collected Works Bookstore, which is at 202 Galisteo Street in Santa Fe. And
yeah.
CollectedWorksBookstore.com.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on Monday, Pasatiempo staff writer and music critic James Keller is going to be signing copies of Chamber Music, A Listener's Guide. I heard your interview with him a couple of days ago. It was very good. He's so witty and so articulate. If we could bottle his essence and send it to Washington, we could just douse the place in Ode to James, and everything would be better.
Everything would be better.
Everything would be totally better.
Not just Washington.
Well, yeah. I mean, but we could start there.
Yeah.
Well, he's local. We could actually start local.
L.A., Houston, Chicago, Miami.
Arizona. Speaking of Arizona... there's a book signing today.
Warning, do not let Mexico become Arizona. Just saying.
There is a book signing that I wanted to tell you about, and of course I can't find it at the moment.
Where is it happening?
But here it is. Terry Green Sterling, the Arizona author journalist, reads from and discusses illegal life and death in Arizona's immigration war zone at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday at the United Church of Santa Fe on Arroyo Chamizo. There's a little piece about it on page 16 in the Pasatiempo today. This is a subject I think that everyone has an opinion about.
Did you know that the part of the U.S. code that that covers immigration status violation, the gravity of the offense of being in the United States as a quote-unquote illegal immigrant is exactly equivalent to the offense of speeding on a national highway, on an interstate highway. It is
really?
It is that exact same level of gravity. It is not a felony. It is not a major crime. It is exactly like speeding.
I say we round up all the speeders and send them home. That's what we should do with the speeders.
Anyway, Hansel and Gretel.
Was that a little visit from your great uncle?
Oh, gosh. The Santa Fe Concert Association presents an hour-long rendition of Hansel und Gretel, the opera, at 7 p.m. on Friday, I believe, 2 p.m. on Saturday, or 7 p.m. on Saturday, and I believe there's another performance on Sunday at the Scottish Rite Center. There's also a performance at 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Santa Fe Public Library. if you call 984, it's the Santa Fe Public Library Southside branch, and that's at 2 p.m. on Saturday. If you call 984-8759, you can find out more info on those performances.
Excellent.
What else? You know, I don't have a lot of art openings to talk about.
I don't know. We'll get to those in a second. Let me show you a little more from the Collected Works bookstore. Sunday, the 9th of January, Jessica O'Dwyer is talking about her memoir called Mamalita. It's an adoption memoir, and that's at 2 in the afternoon. And then Monday, the 10th, as you said, James Keller. And then Wednesday, the 12th, Craig Barnes, Democracy at the Crossroads and the Evolution of Civilization. That's a lecture series. It's the first in a series of 7 lectures and conversations presented by Craig Barnes, host of the radio show Our Times, which is on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock right here on KSFR. And the conversations will draw from 4 books that if people want to become more part of it and check out those books, they have them at Collected Works Bookstore. And the lecture series runs through the 23rd of February. It's at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30 in the evening on Wednesdays.
Cool. Well, we talked about the Collected Works exhibit on Friday. Also on Friday, the Blue Rain Gallery over there on Lincoln Avenue is exhibiting new paintings by Tony Abeta. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Manitou Galleries is having its annual calendar art show, and there's a reception from 5 to 7:30 p.m. That show is up through the 21st of January. Marigold Arts, annual gallery artist group exhibit of watercolors, photographs, sculpture, jewelry, and tapestries. Reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And Peterson Cody Gallery over on Palace Avenue, West Palace Avenue, is having a winter group show of paintings, and there's a reception tonight at 5 p.m.
Excellent.
Have you been to one of these TGIF organ recitals yet?
No.
I'm kind of falling in love with organ music. I'm not sure why. And this is the next step in my addiction, is watching Linda Rainey perform. And she is performing at 5:30 p.m. First Presbyterian Church at 208 Grant Avenue tonight. It's by donation. If you call 982-8544, extension 16, you can find out more info about that concert. And it's pretty much a series. It happens every Friday.
Excellent.
Yes. Gosh, what else is going on?
I'll tell you what else is going on. Temple Beth Shalom and the New Mexico Women's Foundation present an afternoon of world Jewish music from the 5 corners of the Jewish world. Hebrew, Yiddish, Russian, Ladino, and English. Robin Helsner live in concert this Sunday at 3 o'clock at Temple Beth Shalom.
That and actually sounds like fun.
The tickets cost money. If you want more information, 982-1376, extension 109. You can buy your tickets in advance.
Cool. Here's a band you should check out. Jonathan Tyler and Northern Lights. I believe they're a Dallas band. Everybody loves them in Dallas. And they're going to be here so you can love them too. They're performing Monday.
We love to
At 9 p.m. at Corazon. And they're performing with this group. And I'm not sure if there's a pronunciation, but it's O/Z. And it's Mikey Baker, who's, you know, an
O-Z
owner of Corazon.
Or Oz?
I know. I'm not
O/Z.
Sure.
O/Z?
O/Z.
O and or Z?
I don't know. I'm confused by the name, but I'm sure the music is going to be great. It's Andrew Prim, Peter Williams, Michael Baker. That's going to be good music. Jonathan Tyler and the Northern Lights is sort of southern rock. I think they toured with Skynyrd. So that's going to be a fun show on Monday. Skynyrd! What else is going on? Oh, on Saturday, for anyone out there who fancies themselves a screenwriter, Saturday, led by Rick Reichman, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Public Library Lafarge branch, is a screenwriting workshop. That's over there on Llano Street. If you call 955-4860, you can get more information on that. I haven't met, you know, unlike other film towns, I haven't met a lot of people in Santa Fe, you know, where everyone is writing a screenplay. It doesn't seem like that.
It doesn't?
No. Do you know a lot of people that are in the midst of writing a screenplay?
I know several, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been asked to read any of them?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
That may be just as well.
Yeah.
I'm not an experienced screenplay reader.
Just don't. I mean, if it's a friend, don't do it.
Why?
Just because
what
if
it's
can cause
good?
Problems. Well, so you have to take a chance on that.
Yeah.
And they're never good the first time.
Well, I did read one screenplay and I had some critique and they didn't agree, so what are you going to do?
Are you still friends?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, that's good. Maybe I need a new set of friends. what else?
18 Days, the exhibition. It's a fine arts competition open to women artists living in New Mexico, working in any medium. And they are looking for submissions from emerging and established artists. And the works that are accepted will be on display at the Munoz Waxman Gallery at the CCA. And the deadline is this Sunday, the 9th of January. So for more information, you can go to entryinfo.18days@rocketmail.com.
Cool.
What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty cool. Hey, did you know that this Saturday would have been Elvis's 76th birthday?
Oh, man.
I know. I don't know what to do.
I miss him.
I miss him, too. I mean, my grandfather had the pleasure of serving with him in the military. And that was way before my time.
Yeah.
My friend's
dad taught history to him in Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah. He said he wasn't a stellar student.
I grew up listening to Elvis. Actually, my mom, when she moved back to Texas, gave me all of her old albums. One of them is an actual original 45 pressing of Blue Christmas.
Nice.
It's in terrible condition because my brother and I used to play Frisbee with it when we were kids.
Oh, dear.
So
does it still play?
No.
Oh, that's too bad, because otherwise it might be your retirement.
I know. But it has a special place in my home.
Well, that's a beautiful thing.
But if you're going to go out and you're going to celebrate Elvis's birthday, you should go check out Rhythm and 53rd playing R&B and funk at the Cowgirl. There was another band scheduled to play, but they had to cancel for personal reasons. That starts at 8 p.m. on Saturday. That would be tomorrow. And there's a small cover for that. Earlier in the day, from 2 to 5 p.m., there's a Rail Yard Reunion Bluegrass Band playing, and there's no cover for that. Those things are always, I think, more fun when it's warm outside and you
bluegrass?
Can sit in the just at the Cowgirl in general, you know? But I've never been to one of these bluegrass things, so I can't say yay or nay on it.
If you love bluegrass, bluegrass is fun any time of the year.
Okay.
There's a great bluegrass song on one of Keller Williams' more recent albums called Take Me to the Tundra, because he's so tired of how hot it is.
Oh, my
It's a great
goodness.
Song.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. An evening of chanting and prayers with the Drepung Losaling Monks. That is at the Tubton Norbu Ling Buddhist Center today at 6:30. That's at 1807 2nd Street, number 35, right across from Back Road Pizza. And these are the monks that we have on pretty much every year. And they always sit in the cafe and do that wonderful chanting. And they did the sand mandala over at Surrett and Sons. Then I wasn't there this year, but on New Year's Eve, they demolished it and just brushed it away and did a ceremony about it. It's great. Those guys are wonderful.
They are wonderful. There's one more thing. On the 12th, on Wednesday at Corazon, is an indie rock duo, L1011, with local band As and We, who are awesome. And the doors open at 7:30 p.m. on the 12th. You can get tickets in advance for most concerts at Corazon by going to CorazonSantaFe.com. I'm not going to tell you how much the tickets are, but you can go and find out for yourself.
Excellent. And I got a notice from a stand-up comedian named Brett Hiker, who said that there's a stand-up comedy show in Santa Fe tomorrow, January 8th, at 8 o'clock at the Assembly Hall at 1420 Cerrillos Road, which is the old Baptist church. And performers Sarah Kennedy, Joe Quesada, Eddie Tafoya, Brett Hiker, and A.J. Martinez are doing it as a benefit for various organizations that are feeding the hungry in New Mexico.
Hmm. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
There's an announcement that I wanted to make for...
I think that may be a sleeper.
I think?
No, I don't know. But I think it may be something that if you end up going, you will be surprised at how much fun you had.
Well, they used to do stand-up at the El Paseo downtown, and that kind of tapered off a little bit. I haven't heard much about that lately.
Yeah.
If it is happening, somebody write me, email me, I don't know, come by.
The Food Depot and Roadrunner in Albuquerque are the recipients of the benefit.
Oh, well, that's definitely a good cause.
Yes.
Call for entries for the 2007 New Mexico Music Awards. All right. You have until Friday, February 4th to get everything in. You can visit NewMexicoMusicAwards.com for a complete list of categories, rules, and entry forms. For information, you can call 505-345-4083. I love the New Mexico Music Awards. I think they're diverse enough that they sort of give a great cross-section of what's happening in New Mexico, everything from punk to industrial to country to you know, northern New Mexican music. If more people participated, I think that it could be a much better event, is all I'm going to say. So if you are a musician or if you are in a band, go to NewMexicoMusicAwards.com and see how you can enter, figure out the categories and the rules for yourselves. And there's entry forms available online.
Now, at the screen, which is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, also known as SWAG.
SWAG.
White Material, starring Claire Denis and starring Isabelle Huppert, is opening. And continuing on, Vision from the Life of Hildegard von Bingen and The Wildest Dream, Conquest of Everest, which we talked about on this program with Conrad Anker, who is the great mountaineer, or if you want to think of it, crazy guy, mm-hmm. who does things like climb Mount Everest, and he actually found the body of the guy who was first thought to
George
summit Mount Everest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then something called Four Lions, which is a British comedy from Christopher Morris. And anyway, lots of good stuff, so check out the screen.
Yeah, there's not many programs, or there's not a lot of programming at Warehouse 21 right now, but there's a great play that's happening over the next three days. Warehouse 21 presents the Tony Award-winning homage to old musicals, The Drowsy Chaperone.
Nice.
That is, it's a group of teen and young adult actors and actresses who do a marvelous job and with every production that they do. And that's, I believe there's a 7 p.m. show on Saturday, on Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday there's a 2 p.m. matinee. And if you call 989-4423, you can find out more info on tickets and stuff.
At the Cinematheque at the CCA in Santa Fe, we have held over The Legend of Pale Male, which was one of my favorite movies. I love that film. And did you see it?
Or I
did you
had
hear
a
about
chance.
It? It was that movie about the documentary about the red-tailed hawk who moves into it makes a nest on the window of the fanciest, most super exclusive apartment building in New York City on Fifth Avenue facing Central Park, and everybody photographs him, and he has a mate, and they have lots of kids, and then the building tries to get rid of him, and it's a great drama.
Good. I really want to see it. I think we have a screener of it at the office.
You should take it home, see it, pass it on to your friends, but above all, go to the CCA and see it, because it's been being held over. And then a film, yes?
Summer Wars starts.
Summer Wars, yeah. That's an animated feature. Opens on Friday. What do you know about it?
Well, I watched it. I gave it a little chilly rating. I liked it all right. If you like Japanimation, you'll like this film. It's drawn really well. The story's a bit snoozy.
But it's animation, and we like animation. Okay, well...
It's like The Social Network in Japanimation, but with like a world-like takeover.
I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. Rob DeWald has been with us here. Speaking of the arts, he's with us just about every Friday. He's with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine, a very wonderful publication. I don't know how you guys crank this thing out every week. It's great.
Magic,
lots of wonderful writers and all the listings that you will ever need. And they're part of the Santa Fe New Mexican. And let's see, you can stream this station at ksfr.org. You can podcast this show at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. You can friend me there. Then we can have all kinds of conversations. And my email address is if you want to write. And people have been writing and commenting on the shows. I've got some nice, interesting criticisms, all kinds of responses. So please feel free to write at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to the wonderful Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz. Hey, have a great chilly weekend. Rob DeWalt.
You too. Keep your dogs inside. It's cold out there.
It is so cold. Adios.